Welcome back to Inside the World of Duotone. It's the podcast where we bring you deep into what's going on with our brand and what a place it is to be inside the world of Duotone right now for Andrea Principi and Michele Sol, who've had an incredible event at the 2025 Lords of Tram event. I have them listening and talking to me now. I can't wait to speak to them all about how they train, how that felt to get that incredible result just now, and absolutely everything else. So joining me from Tarifa in Spain, welcome to the both of you.
Thank you, Lewis. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, for me too. It's a pleasure to be here with you and talk about the competition and the condition, because this event for me, but I think for everyone, it's been to remember, you know, having to sign in the calendar.
22 years, I think. Yeah. 22 years. I haven't seen something as windy as that, you know, my whole career. So I can't wait to dive into that with both of you. But let's just start with this interesting question. So you're sharing an apartment right now, and we're going to get more into that about how that's good for you and training together. But can you work out how many world championship titles are in that apartment right now?
All together, I think Mika has 8 and I have 2.
Ten.
Yeah,
so 10.
Ten and a half.
I bet that will never happen in that apartment again. So why don't we go straight into the Lords of Tram event? And for those listeners that aren't aware of that event, which you must be, if you're into kitesurfing, you will be, but maybe you're not and you're listening, it is the strongest wind event on the calendar, based down in the south of France in Le Bacarès, which is very near Perpignan, right on the border really of Spain and France. And the wind blows a really cold wind from the Pyrenees out to the Mediterranean. It's a famous crazy wind called the Tramontane, which is why the event's called the Lords of Tramontane. But starting with you, Mika, actually, how can you wrap up the event in a short amount of time? What was the last event like to you?
Chaotic. I'd say definitely chaotic. It was like kiting in a storm, in a sense, you know, like there was sunny and everything, but the wind was just raging. And I'm quite happy I didn't have to go out in the conditions that Andrea and most of the guys had to go out in, because I think I would have been blown away. But yeah, definitely one of the strongest event I have ever competed in. And yeah, it was just mind blowing to see what nature can bring you when it's angry, you know?
It looked like a storm. You say kiting in a storm. You both of you were not just kiting in a storm, you were competing in a storm, you know? Andrea,
can I say something? To me, when it's like this, it's not about kiting. Is about
surviving.
It's about surviving and giving the respect to the condition, man. Man, when you go in the water with that wind, then you never know what happened and you can control it. So first thing you have to do is give the full respect to the condition and say, okay, I give you the respect and let's see what I can do, you know? It's not about going and you do what you want.
You're not trying to destroy yourself. You're just trying to survive the next heat.
It's not about also destroying, it's giving exactly the rest, you know, nature and
I think there's a great message there, Andrea, for everybody in kiteboarding, because, you know, you're amateur kiteboarding. They want to go out in crazy wind, you know, like, and they don't think, maybe you think about respecting that as a competitor. That's interesting for me to hear.
Yeah, also, I see many people, especially also in Tarifa, where they go out. Most of the time I see people go out in 50 knots and for the level they have, is not for sure the right condition, and they are putting the life in the line. How kitesurf, man, can be so beautiful and so relaxing in light wind and in the right condition, but in the wrong condition might be, you know, fatal, you know? So that's is a message for everyone and for all the kitesurfers. Go enjoy, but when he's
but know your limits.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you need to know when he's dangerous and he's dangerous.
Yeah, I like that message, and I'm really stoked that you're sharing that, because I think a lot of the world would presume that you two don't feel like you have limits. You know,
to be honest, in the last 3 months, I rescued 3 people that they were bye-bye at the point. So I also taking my training and stuff with more respect in the last time, to be honest.
Yeah, and I, from my perspective, seeing such a level up in safety at these events, obviously I myself have firsthand had a big accident where I needed safety, but I like to see the safety levels now, they're on it.
Yeah, man, especially this competition, I really need to say thanks for the organization, because the jet ski and the safety, they were there in a second to help you with the board. So this is... Field safety, actually, when you compete, is the first thing and the most important.
Michele, this was your 8th World Championship, but you've had a break from competition and you weren't competing in last year's event down there, maybe even the one before. I know you've won it, I believe, before.
I did the one before. I just didn't do last year's one.
Okay, so you had quite a big break from competition. Did you go into this event feeling like you were going to take the win and thus become world champion again for the 8th time? How did you feel about entering this event?
I mean, definitely after seeing the forecast, I was a bit nervous. You know, I'm not the one that enjoys going out when it's super, super strong. You know, I like big air. I don't like extreme air. You know, that's what I was saying on the beach. But yeah, I mean, I was definitely nervous and feeling the jitters, you know, after taking that year off. I just had to kind of go into reset mode and kind of get my groove back and just go into it with a clear mind, not putting too much pressure on myself. You know, I just need to go out there, do what I had to do, get the scores on the board, and that's it. Not think to kind of have to prove myself again, because in the end, I don't have anything to prove. I just needed to go out there and do what I can do. And if that was good enough, that was good enough, you know, but not pushing my limit to the point where it's like, oh, I had a year off, people are doubting me, this, this, and that, and I need to overprove myself, because that's just not the right way to go into competition.
No, you definitely look comfortable out there, and congratulations to taking that world championship as well. Now I'll move quickly on to Andrea. You are the reigning Red Bull King of the Air champion. All right, you didn't get another world championship at this event, but how were you feeling entering this event, you know, because you'd have known that it was a very outside chance to become world champion, but as the Red Bull King of the Air champ, I guess everyone was there was a lot of expectancy on you.
To be honest, I had the expectation in all the competition from no one but just from myself. Like I always say, you know, I just want to do well because for myself, you know, I want to show myself I can do the trick at the right time when I need to do it. You know what I mean? And this event, I just took it like a kind of training to have fun. You know, I say to myself, okay, this event, I'm going to take it like this. I go, I have fun. I do the trick that I can without trying to get injured, you know, because I have other competition to do and to run it. So I want to be safe, but I want to have fun and go bigger than I can, of course. And I think it was the right strategy because, you know, I had nothing to lose at the end. In Brazil, unlucky, the condition were like that. I didn't, it's, you know, you cannot every time win. It's like this. But I say have fun and goes how it goes. And yeah, I'm really stoked about the result.
It looked really clear to us watching that you were having lots of fun out there as well. Like, you know, it was obvious you were really enjoying the conditions.
Especially in the last hit, in the final.
Oh, yeah.
That I knew it, to be honest. This year I felt it, you know. I had many signs that I was going to win already before the competition, and I was kind of relaxed, and I said, okay, if now I'm going out on the 8 meter, might be done.
Michele, Andrea's just hinted there that there's signs and feelings before a big competition. Do you get that those sensations before an event about how you think it's going to go?
I mean, I go into every event with like a sort of kind of respect. I'm like, I know if I do the tricks that I can do, I have the potential to win, but anything can go wrong and everything can go right. You know, it just depends how your mindset is and how you're feeling. And if you give it your all and you know that you're capable of winning, then you're going to be going into an event fully prepared. And I think this event, I had that feeling where it's like, if I get the scores on the board, I do what I can do. It's going to run smoothly. You know, it definitely came to, I wasn't actually feeling so prepared for this event, you know, living in Tarifa now with Andrea, actually. We didn't get so much wind. You know, I moved here January, and from January till the comp, I think I only had like 3 or 4 proper big air sessions, and I was feeling a little stuck after not riding for so long. And previously riding in Brazil with warm wind, it's different conditions and different feelings. So getting back into it was definitely challenging, but you know, in competition, everything changes, your mindset changes, everything. So you know that once that buzzer goes off, you're just going to go out and do exactly what you have to do. And I think that's what makes me and Andrea such great competitors, because we know once our mind sets in and we're in the right headspace, we can just annihilate.
And let's talk about that, moving on to what you mentioned, how you actually are sharing an apartment. That's quite some time. So January, you've been there. How does living together, Andrea, this question for you, how does sharing an apartment in Tarifa influence both of your training routines and things like that?
To be honest, I feel in Tarifa is the best place to be for me. I'll always say, since the first day I've been in Tarifa, after a month, I say, I don't know when, but I'm going to live here, you know, because I feel it's the perfect balance, Tarifa. You have all the condition, and sometimes it's really hard to train in the condition that you have. But Omika said, you know, she thinks she didn't get a good session and stuff because the condition, they were really tough. But once you train in a hard condition, once you found an easy condition, you look like that is everything so easy. So that's why I think she actually won, and she felt that kind of relaxed then. And that also what I felt. So it means that I think Tarifa gave me the right training and the right balance. So
Are you riding together often? So do you always go out together?
Yeah, always.
I'm his Uber.
Mika is our taxi. And I'm the speaker on the car of the music. Sophia pumped our kite. No, I'm joking.
No,
it was better. But we need to find someone in the team that start to pump our kite, and then we perfect.
So Michele decides where you kite then. If there's any arguments on the spot, she's driving.
No.
I'm just the chauffeur. He tells us where to go, and I drive us from A to B.
No, for the forecast, you need to ask me, to be honest.
You're an expert there now. And what about off the water? Do you train together off the water?
I can even not see the forecast. I can feel the
feeling. And do you training in the gym together and things like that?
Yes. We can not
we
always.
We train separately, but we go to the same gym. You know, there's only one gym in Tarifa, but we have different schedules.
Yeah, I guess you need to be driven there as well, Andrea. So you go together, and then you get on with your own routine. I mean, thinking about routines, I'm always interested to hear what the top athletes are doing to be prepared physically as well. Let's start with you, Michele. What sort of training techniques and routines are you doing in the gym? And have you learned anything maybe from what Andrea does?
Andrea lifts weights like crazy. He just takes on as much weight as he can, and that's his sort of training. My training is more just like, I don't know, I try to be kind of consistent in the gym and just doing full body stuff, you know. I don't want to kind of slack, but I wouldn't say I'm going full out on the gym every week, every day, you know, because at the same time, if there's wind, if you overtrain, you get tired and you have to put your priorities straight. But yeah, I think you just have to have like a good mix in between training on the water and off the water, just to prevent injuries and to just feel 100% when you do go on the water. So I wouldn't say I have a specific routine, but I'd say it's just trying to be as consistent as possible.
And Andrea, you obviously, Michele said that you're quite into your weights, but have you learned anything from the way that Michele trains?
Also stretching. He stretches for like 8 hours a day.
No, he's a perfect mix. To be honest, if I would count the hour that I spend training, I don't know, 9 hours of day, because really between the stretching is all a mix of weight, stretching. It's so much find the balance, and still, you know, I'm working to find it, because every day I'm learning something new, to be honest. Every day it's okay, I get this, I'm fine. And then the next day I learn something new, you know. So I would say it's the perfect balance of a right training between also the water. How Mika said, you cannot just go train in the gym and then you feel tired on the water. You need to have a good mix. I think you can feel the good mix when you feel your body all right, you know? When you don't feel pain, you feel your body with energy, you're perfect.
Totally. And talking about balance, you mentioned the word balance there. So that we're specifically talking about training when you're on the water. What about when you're not doing any of those things, Mikaeli? What do you do to unwind and relax in Tarifa?
I wouldn't say I do anything in specific. Again, I think just being in the right environment, being around a certain people, just bring you that kind of sort of peace and calm that you need. You know, your environment is everything. So for me, living in Tarifa, it just gives me a sense of kind of peace because you can do so many things outside of just kiting. So when you don't feel like doing that and there's no wind, you can go to the beach, you can go, I don't know, to the gym or go for a hike or just hang out with friends. And that sort of just makes me feel like I'm in a good space, in a healthy space, you know, mentally. And that just provides me the energy that I need to grow.
And Andrea, yourself?
To be honest, it's about surfing, gliding, fishing. So every day when I'm not going into the water or gymming, because every day I go in the gym. So it's my routine. Basically, I wake up, I breakfast, I go gym. Then I see the day if I'm tired or not, if it's windy or not. In this base, I decide if I can go paraglide or surf or fish. You know, I cannot be just in the sofa and do nothing. I have to do something every day. So I like to switch this sport and have fun when I do it. You know, I don't do this sport like, you know, I need to do something just for have fun and relax myself.
Yeah, and you're both right that down in Tarifa gives you that sort of energy, even if you're not specifically having to do anything. I've myself been a lot to Tarifa. For me, it's the sound of the birds, which if I close my eyes and think of the sounds of the birds, especially in spring and autumn, that remind me of being there. And it's the garden of Europe, looking over Africa with that view of Morocco. There is an energy of just being there, a peace and a tranquility that you can,
you feel it
when you're there. And it's makes me want to go back there right now. We're going to move on to championship highlights. So Mikaeli, can you share a defining moment or a highlight from your career that continues to inspire you?
From any competition, you mean?
Even if it's not a competition, something that you look at from your own career that you feel like it's actually inspired you yourself.
I think just being honestly, people inspire me more. You know, it's not sort of anything in competition. It's just seeing people push their limits and stuff. That's what inspires me. You know, you go to competition and you see someone land a new trick that they've never landed before in comp because they just have that adrenaline, that rush, and it really just shows you what competition is about. It just brings this alter ego almost like into your being, and it just pushes you past your limits. And that's what sort of inspires me.
And Andrea?
Man, to be honest, it's hard to explain, but I have a kind of illumination. Usually, like after a long day of kite, it's so hard for me to leave, you know, the adrenaline and stuff and slow down your mind, you know, because even probably you felt it, you know, when you have so much adrenaline going on after it, your body felt so tired, but your mind doesn't stop, you know, your mind is super accelerated. So I kind of like see the trick, and sometimes I just get inspired from just looking at something or just sitting down and thinking about it. And then I say, oh, maybe I can do that. And the next day I go try, you know. I like kites for it because I can be so creative, man. I see kite like I can create my own thing, you know. That's why I like so much. Some days, you know, I struggle because maybe I want to even try to do something bigger than me. And I say, oh, I cannot do it, but then I can see, man, that everything, if you really think it's possible, you can do it. So, yeah.
You're very much, you're quite into the the fact that it's a blank canvas still, and you can have such an influence on, and you are having, both of you, a huge influence on the way that big air kiteboarding is evolving. We kind of like don't know what we're going to see next on social media right now. Like it changes from week to week, and that must be exciting, as you say, Andrea, to be. But what about the key influences and maybe people? Is there anybody that's really influenced you and inspired you, Michele, and how maybe they might have shaped your professional path that you'd like to talk about?
Like I said previously, it's just everything inspires me in a sense. Just seeing people pushing their limit inspires me, and it just inspires me how some people have different routines but get to the same place. You know, it doesn't really matter how you do it as long as you get it done. And that's just something that when I see people achieve what they've worked so hard for, it makes me want to do the same thing and to keep improving and to keep pushing it. So it's hard to like pinpoint one specific person, you know. It's just you see little bits of improvement in everyone, and that's something that inspires me, because you're improving every day, and a lot of times you don't even realize it until you've achieved what you want, you know. But I think that when little things add up, you just it's a hard thing to explain, you know.
It's
just
almost too many
exactly.
Same. And is it the same for you, Andrea, or is there, do you look back and think, oh, that person really sort of took me down this journey, or is it?
No, to be honest, that for me, I need to be the influence of myself. Is my mind, you know. I have a long discussion to my mind, you know, and I understand that when I want to get something, I need to just be convinced with myself that I really want something and go for it, you know. Not look at no one else, just go for it and go straight, you know. And that's the only thing that works for me, you know. That's why I like spend kind of a lot of time alone and do my own thing with music, because I need to really found my own space and have my space, you know.
I agree. It's within. It comes from within. And what about handling pressure as well? Because you're very experienced, both of you, about handling pressure. Michele, let's put you in an actual position right this second. I want to know how you were handling the pressure before that final, knowing that your return to competitive kiteboarding would be what was talked about, and knowing that the outcome of that final at the Lords of Tram so recently would give you either the world championship for your eighth time or not. How did you manage that pressure right then at that moment?
To be quite honest, I wasn't feeling pressure. Like, I think competing for such a long time, you kind of learn to deal with pressure in different ways. And for me, the way I found to be the best is to go into the water and just have fun, because if you put too much pressure on yourself, you're going to mess up, you know. Too much pressure is never good for anyone, you know. Sometimes pressure is good when you're training and when you're competing in the first few rounds, but when you get to that final, you just need to be sound at mind, and you just need to know that if you do what you do, you can make it, you know, and you can't really put all this expectation on you, because then usually you try to go for it too much and then you mess up. And when you start crashing, you need to know, okay, this isn't the last attempt. I still have more tries. Like, you can do it.
Has it taken you some time to an experience? I mean, thinking back to the first time you ever competed, has that changed for you now, Michele, that you're able to use your experience and relax like that?
I think I learned how to deal with the pressure when I was like 15, the second year of me competing. You know, I think I just had that one year where things just weren't going well, and I had to find a way to move past that and find my way of competing, because if you continue competing without experience and you don't learn from your mistakes, you're not going to improve. You know, you kind of have to realize that people compete in different ways, and you have to find the way that you work best.
And you, Andrea, like, the pressure is something you live with on a daily basis, or is it something you have a strategy to deal with?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I had time that I was working with the pressure, you know, and think, yo, I need to do that because I need to win. but I see it wasn't the right way. I see now for me was to have fun, you know. In the final, you know, the only thing I said before this final, I say, okay, now I go in the water, I have fun, and I kick the ass, man. This is the only thing I was seeing in my mind. And the only thing I was seeing in my mind was the trick I was going to do. And, you know, only I was there in the right time, you know. I was seeing the right trick in the right time, and everything went well. If I'm kind of distracted and I have other thing in my mind, doesn't work. When I'm compete, I need to be there, you know, be present and really be clear in my mind to the trick I'm going to do.
I think that's really insightful, because so often in sports and from the outside, everyone talks about pressure and managing it. But it, from what you both are explaining, that pressure is only there if you put it on yourself, you know, like you're both getting on with your heats and your finals with a totally different mindset. So, you know, what defines pressure if it's not actually there and you don't feel it? It sounds like you've both found a way that you don't even bring that into your heats. Now, quick answer to this one for both of you. Just so you know, we're doing really well on time. I want to get wrapped up by 40 minutes. We're on 26 minutes. We've got 6 questions left. So this quick next question, sort of a reasonably quick answer from both of you would be great. Michele, future goals. What are some of your goals or aspirations for moving forwards in your kiteboarding career?
My future goals are definitely, well, short term, are definitely to win Queen of the Air. It's the only competition I haven't won yet. So it would be pretty awesome to win that. Last year I didn't attend because it was more of like a test. It wasn't officially the Queen of the Air, you know, just like a trial. So yeah, this year definitely my goal is to train and to win that coming November. And past that, I think it's just to push myself as much as I can and try to obtain a higher level in kiting and in my personal life and everything. So I think just to become overall just better in everything.
And Andrea, what about you?
Me, man, is the second trilogy. Man, if God help me, the goal is the second trilogy, man. The whatever happened in my way this year, the goal gonna be the quota, man.
Is there any event that you haven't won?
Actually, Full Power Tarifa, and I'm gonna do it this year because I have to win at least once Full Power Tarifa, but without pressure. Oh, I tell you, man, I will do my thing and I will show my trick. You will see, man, also in Full Power. If I'm on shape, I jump over everyone, over the kite, man.
They I heard in the Lords of Tram before the event.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
I'm super happy because the proper brigade is coming. You will see. Now on 50 knots, people have to go out on 7 meters and fly 30 meters. And like this, I think, is extreme. Because I think double loop right now might be extreme only on really like 50 knots or something. Because otherwise, if you grab, you know, a bigger kite, you still always will go bigger than a 6 meter. You know what I mean? And even for the people, I think the show that you make on a big kite is insane. So let's see, man.
I agree with that too. Like, can you imagine the frustrations of years gone by competing in big air when conditions weren't really that strong and the equipment wasn't even up to it? At least now I feel like big air, the equipment has come on so far.
I start big air because I was liking the idea that I could fly higher than I can, you know? So I want to keep this goal and go bigger than I can. And for go bigger than I can, I need to use the biggest size that I can on the wind I have. You know what I mean? If on amount of wind, I use a smaller size to do a kind of trick, I'm not going bigger than I can.
Yeah, it's nice to hear you talking like that, actually. Sports innovations. Michele, have you seen any recent innovations in kiteboarding that excite you or you think will change the game? You know, you're involved with the R&D process with Duotone. What is that like?
I mean, definitely, I think the kites have come a long way, especially since the time when you were competing with the Vegas and stuff. I remember you guys doing loops with that. Yeah, so now the kites are being built specifically for big air, and I think that's just going to continue to improve, and the design is just going to continue to become easier and safer to push your level and your limits, just because, yeah, I mean, that's the way the sport is going now. And I think especially for all the companies, not just Duotone, everyone needs to kind of catch up, and like everyone wants to have the best kite in the market. So I think when the brands start to realize that, yes, big air is where people want to be, the kites are just going to continue to evolve and become machines.
And Andrea, specifically with Duotone, is there any recent innovations that are happening that you can talk about, or maybe giving us a hint about that? You know, does this really giving you that extra edge at events working with the R&D team?
Yeah, I really, to be honest, I always like right now that I have the possibility, but my dream is always been to kind of do a kite. You know, vision to how the kite works. Right now, to be honest, I can feel the kite in a second, even if I'm just pulling the bar on the beach, how the kite works and fly, you know, kind of already while I'm pulling the bar for the first time in a second, I get connected with the kite. So especially the kite I was using for double loop is a Evo, but it's a little bit, you know, different, and I really like it. So that we were working on this kite. So we pulled it out for this competition and it worked perfectly immediately. So I'm really happy, you know, also with the team and stuff. They've been super fast. And it's always, you know, good to develop new stuff because I'm getting better my level, you know, on the trick, but also the kite helps. So with a better kite, I can do better stuff. And also I think the kite I'm using, many people might think, you know, I can only drive it because it's me and because my level. But I think if I made a better kite that works better for me and I can do easier my trick that are so difficult, even, you know, a normal guy that improve, even a just normal jump, the kite gonna still be more stable for him as well. You know what I mean?
So it's working both ways. Working both ways. You're using specifically made equipment for your competitions, and we're able to take out how that's affected you from it for your everyday users. So just for clarity, you had a kite there made for that competition specifically?
Yeah, not for just this competition, but in general, was a bit faster and how it's starting different, but only not me. I have it. All the, you know, riders on that comp has it. And yes, it was made, you know, to double loop, and particularly right now for this side, but also I was going really, really big, and it's really a kite that I like, to be honest.
It's a fact that the equipment that we're producing at Duotone is not only for every recreational kiteboarder, but for the high level riding of our athletes and team. It has a nice synergy that you guys and girls use it. And it really can be that you find things out from 50 knots in the Lords of Tram, that those sessions and experiences are contributing to the way our equipment is made. Now, I'd like to move on and talk about mentorship to both of you. Do either of you engage in mentoring up and coming athletes, and what sort of advice can you give them? Me, Kylie.
I think just for anybody who wants to start or to starting kiting, you have to know that it's a process, you know, it takes time and it takes dedication, and you know, you might not see the results right away, but if you put enough work into it, it's like anything you do, you will see something coming, you know. So just don't give up and just try your best to stay motivated and stay positive and just give it your all, because with anything, the more work you put in, eventually something will come to you.
And Andrea, if you have first-hand experience working with
I say something, I'm not agree with Mika. I think you need to do kite because you don't care about nothing, and it's your love, you know, and it's your passion, and everything will come on all, man. Yeah, when I start kiting, I wasn't thinking to win to kata. My dream was, you know, arrive. I say to my dad, when I start kiting after a year, and I start feeling the real love, and say, okay, I need to leave everything, all my other sports I'm doing, because I need to do kite in my life. Is my job, because I love it too much. Then the process, if you really trust it, will bring you, you know, like where I am right now, because I think I really believe it, and I never lost the dream.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, no, I'm joking. But kiting is for everyone, you know. You need to kite just because you have the passion, you know, and everything comes alone, not because you want to arrive somewhere.
Well, regardless, in any sport that you do, if it's kiting, if it's tennis, basketball, yeah, you have to put in dedication. I'm
of
saying
course.
That if
but
you're dedicated
but
and you love it,
dedication comes alone. The dedication comes alone.
We're talking about advice for the next generation young people, and taking that from experience that you've both had, because so quickly, you know, you go from being, you know, young riders and on the tour, and then suddenly now you are the riders that people look to. Parents are coming to you for advice for their young riders. So at Duotone, we have a wonderful program called the Young Bloods, and you know, a great example here, Finn Flugel, who's one of our Duotone teammates, young rider. You've given me some ideas of, you know, some of the messages you'd like to pass on, and do pass on to young people. What's it like having Finn Flugel as an actual international teammate, you know, when you see him riding at the Lords of Tram, Andre? You know, do you think, well, I've been there before? Like, do you feel like there's some support from the team? Do you actively go out of your way to have a chat with him on the beach?
Yes, absolutely. I saw him riding it, and I was like kind of impressed. I think especially for the wind that it was, and the condition wasn't easy for everyone, but especially for him, that is kind of lighter. Also, now if he's growing and he has a good shape. But yes, also about kiting, I saw it. He had all the kite in the right setting, and also I'm happy to see that the family is as well is supporting him. So I think he was all right, and he has the paper to go well in the next competition.
Yeah, I think Andrea said it all. I agree with what he said.
Let's think about adapting to challenges now. What's been some of the most challenging setbacks? Maybe just think of one for me, one of the biggest ones for you, Michaela, and how have you overcome it?
I think the most challenging setbacks I've had isn't because of me. I think you have to understand that judging criteria and this and that can be a bit biased at times. And you have to understand that not everything is in your hands. You know, sometimes you get put out on what you deserve to have. And that's just the way it goes. You know, competition, it's about 4 or 5 people judging you. And that's the hardest thing to do, is to understand that it doesn't matter if you do the best trick. Sometimes the outcome is different than you expect it to be because of their perception of you and your trick, you know. And I think that's like the hardest thing to overcome, more so than challenging yourself. It's more of the fact that you're being judged by individuals.
Do you think it's difficult for you sometimes, Michaela? And this question also, I want Andrea to just consider, but this is back to you, Michaela. You mentioned the judging sometimes can be harder. When you're winning most of the time, do you think it's even harder for you to actually prove that you should be, you know, the leader of a heat?
I think definitely the more you win, the more judges expect you to do more. You know, I had a lot in freestyle where I was winning every heat and everything, and like I started getting a bit underscored because they expected me to do better than the heat before, and this and that, and they started judging me against me like previous years and not me against the other people in the water. And that is something that was very challenging for me to understand, because it's not the right way of judging, you know.
Separate from competition then, Andrea, or maybe it's within it, what about you for challenges? Have there been injuries or setbacks that you've had to come up through?
To be honest as well, I felt it that after a point that they see you there and they see you that sometimes you perform an insane trick and you have insane performance, they expect you to do every day the same performance or better, you know, the same insane one. But, you know, not every day is his holiday, you know what I mean? So maybe you have the day that, okay, you're performing, but you not perform at your 100%, you perform at your 80, you know? And they expect you to perform 100, but even if you are still better, for example, than who you are against, and the other one show you know, that he prove himself, even if, you know, if it's hard to explain, but even if then I'm still better and I didn't prove myself 100%, they let him pass, you know what I mean? So that's why I try kind of find the balance to doesn't care and just do my own thing and prove to myself that I can be better, and that's it. And now it works, you know? Now I kind of find the balance to give everything and don't feel the pressure, you know, just go for it.
Yes, and there's a nice message in general health and well-being there, that knowing what you've achieved and what you've done yourself is enough. It is enough no matter what result you get given or what other people think of you. It's from within how you feel about your own performance and the things you do in your life. Collaboration, guys. How has it been collaborating with each other? Has it helped you both personally and professionally? I mean, are there social media posts that you're doing together, videos? Michele, has that been a good thing for you to be doing this stuff together?
I mean, yeah, definitely. You know, having someone around that does the same sport as you and just you're living together and doing that, obviously being around each other like helps motivate you and just push you and stuff. So I think living together has been a very positive aspect in both of our lives.
Andrea, you can say it's been a negative if you really want a good argument here, but I'm sure you're going to say it's been positive.
Yeah,
as well.
I, to be honest, I really hate me. No, I'm joking.
They make me do it.
No, to be honest, it's amazing because we help each other. Everyone knows what to do. It, you know, we are not. It's not our first competition, so. I knew it when I should support Mika, and Mika knew it when should support me in the right time. So we collaborate pretty well. We help each other. And I think the team works pretty well also.
Nice. Couple more questions for you both. Living in somewhere like Tarifa, back to Tarifa now, has the local culture, you're both not from Spain, of course, you're from Brazil, Michele, and from Italy, Andrea. So this one for Michele first. Is living somewhere in Tarifa, tell me one thing that has perhaps influenced you or changed you from living in Tarifa.
That's a hard one, honestly. I can't say something has changed from living there. I just, like I said before, it's just a great place to live because you're just in a great environment and you don't really find that type of place around the world anywhere, honestly. I don't think I found a place like Tarifa. So I think for myself, it's just about being connected with the place and like knowing that living there benefits you.
Andrea, yourself?
To me, to be honest, Tarifa give me the peace, you know, give me the peace to be in the right place, that I have everything that I love and it's everything there for me, you know what I mean? It's so special, Tarifa. It's like the atmosphere, the people, it's all together that makes Tarifa so special, you know?
Yeah, I do. And you're also close to, you know, you're quite centrally based to go east, west, south, you know, you're in a nice base there to get anywhere. So I think what I'm gathering from that is maybe the culture isn't so different perhaps from where you're both at home. So from my own perspective, I learned from Tarifa that you can actually go to dinner at midnight or 1 a.m. because everyone in England's like, oh, you have to have dinner at 6 or 7 o'clock. The restaurant is closed at 8 o'clock. It doesn't even open out there until like 10 o'clock. I love how late everyone does things in Spain, especially down in Tarifa as well. So this is the last question for both of you. It's about the vision for kiteboarding's future. What is your vision for the future of kiteboarding, Michele, and how do you see yourself contributing to it?
I just want to pushed kiting outside for the typical regular person. You know, I want kiting to be more known in the world, and I think that takes time and steps, and I think we can get there because it's such an extreme sport that people are amazed at what we do, because in the end, you don't see that with any other sport. You know, it's so different and in so many different disciplines, and it's not all about big air either. You know, there's the wave category, there's a strapless freestyle, there's freestyle in general, there's just everything. So everything is just, it's such a unique sport, and it's so extreme that I think the regular person walking down the street, if they see it in the conditions, would be amazed because it's so different from anything else you can find in any other sport, you know. And also kiting is just so diverse. It's not just one sport, you know. It's not like soccer where you just run. Like it's so many different concepts. Like you have the freestyle, you have the strapless freestyle, you have the waves, you have big air, you have so many disciplines that can fit anyone's cup of tea, you know. And it's just super incredible to see how different and how incredible the sport is, and I want people to understand that and to see it.
And to do, everyone should be doing this, you know. Like it's too good to keep as a secret, isn't it?
I mean, I wouldn't say kiting is everyone's cup of tea, that's for sure. You know, most people don't like the ocean and are afraid of heights, this, this, and that. But I think just to watch it, to enjoy it, you know, I'm not everyone that loves soccer plays soccer, but true, everyone that loves it loves to watch it, you know. And I think kiting can be that.
Andrea, to you then, what's your vision for the future and how do you see yourself contributing to it?
Yeah, man, I just want to send the kite. Or my trick actually as viral as possible, man. The goal is to deliver the trap to everyone, you know, to all around the world. The goal is to show people outside kiting what kiting is, you know, and get all the people seeing it actually, because how Mika said is you can only do what you do with the kite. With the kite surf, it's no other sport that you can even compare it or do something comparable to kiting. So I hope really, like, I want to try to do some project and stuff, something also actually a bit different to try to show people outside kiting what kite is and how beautiful it is, and also how relaxed can be and not dangerous can be in the right condition, you know. Also, the message that we need to give is that you can go on 12 knots on a 15 meter and be totally relaxed without be scared of the wind or to fly away, because you don't have to be scared. You know, it's not only an extreme sport; can be for really everyone. For the 50 years old guy, you know, that goes in holiday and just, you know, goes for a ride and 30 minutes. It's not only about jumping or, risking the life.
Well, I think you're both doing a great job and you're a great advert for kiteboarding and inspiring new people into the sport. Andrea Principi and Michele Sol, winners of our 2025 Lords of Tram event that's just taken part. Thank you very much for joining me from Tarifa.
Cheers, man. Thanks to everyone hearing this, and have a great session on the water.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by and listening to this.